Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
We are tonight on the eve of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. 3 weeks of prayer and fasting, and it is such a significant thing. Now, you might be new to church, you might have come with a friend, you're like, what is this prayer and fasting? Well, we want to encourage you that it is something that everyone can do. It's not just for the seasoned, you know, believers, it's for all people, because God wants to sharpen us all to His voice and wants us all to know Him better. And so I want to encourage you, even if you're, you know, younger in here, we always encourage those that are, you know, still students or under 18 to talk to their parents and to sort of work out what works as a family. But I want to encourage you, every single one of you can do something. In the Bible, fasts are generally all to do with food. And I want to encourage you guys to embrace that and run with it. But for some of you, there may be another fast that includes things like social media, maybe a Netflix fast. Everyone's like, who is this guy? I don't like him. But And I tell you, if you're in school, maybe consider doing a TikTok fast. Yeah. Coming from the TikTok celebrity herself, come on. Now I'm telling you. But seriously, like, fasting's powerful. And if you want to know a little bit more about it, listen to Pastor Brad's message from this morning. It was phenomenal, and it really set our church up for an incredible 3 weeks. And we're excited, because on the other side of it, who knows what God has planned after a whole bunch of people just choose to honor God, put Him first, and to seek Him in this way, which is awesome. So talk to, you know, one of our team or a life group leader. If you're not sure who to talk to, come talk to myself. And yeah, I'd love to help you guys out over the next 3 weeks being a part of that. Sound good? Awesome. Well, I'm pretty excited to preach tonight, and it's been an awesome weekend so far. This afternoon, we had a meeting with a couple of key people involved in something very exciting about called Avant-Garde Young Adults Conference, coming up in a couple of months' time. And you know, I'm going to share a little bit tonight about the journey God's taken us on as a church for this conference, and the way God's going to use us and is using us to be a blessing, not just to, you know, our area, but literally to our state and our nation through this conference. But I'm excited to begin by sharing a word that God's put on my heart out of Daniel chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to it. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's okay. It'll be on the screen. But we're going to read from Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. Sound good? Fantastic. Hey, if you don't know me, maybe you are new around here. My name's Tim. I'm the young adults pastor here alongside my wife, Milani. And we love it. And this church is an amazing place. And I remember walking in here probably like too many years ago to mention, but I was a teenager. And I came in and I was impacted by the reality and the power and the presence of God. And I've been on a journey ever since. And, you know, life has its ups and downs. But the beautiful thing about going on a journey with God is that He never leaves you, never forsakes you. In the good times, He's there to encourage you. Through the challenging times, He's there to lift you up. And I'm so much better because of it. And so if you're new, maybe you don't even have faith. You're not a person of faith. But I'm telling you, you're in the right place. And I would encourage you to open up your heart. Because tonight, who knows, God could show Himself to you in a way you never expected, and your life could be so, so different because of it. And we're going to get into the Word of God. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 says this. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he, King Nebuchadnezzar, carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, is that for a name, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Verse 4, young. I just want you to just highlight that word, young. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed and quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. We knew they weren't youth because they're having wine with dinner. So we got young adults, I'm telling you. It's all, just kidding. But they really were probably young adults. But among those who were chosen were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. These are the names that they got given, these Babylonian names. And it's an amazing story. It goes on. I'll share a little bit of it in a moment. These incredible young people who rose up to be really significant people in this kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon. I want you just to quickly turn me to one other scripture in John chapter 17, verse 15. And we will read up to 18. And Jesus is at this point praying for his followers. He's praying as he goes back to the Father for them. And this is what he says. He says, "My prayer is not that you take them," his followers, "out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world," which is incredible. And I want to share a message that I'm titling tonight, Jewel Names. Jewel Names. So let's pray, ask God to really help us here. That'd be great. Lord, we just thank you so much just for the scripture and for the words, God, that can just transform us. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. You even said it, that the word is truth. Your word is truth. And I pray tonight, God, that we would discover who we truly are through recognizing what you want to say through the word. So open up our eyes, open up our hearts, stir us towards faith. We pray it all in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Have you ever known somebody whose name was not their like real name? Now, I'm talking like way back. I'm probably in primary school. I'm in my auntie, my grandfather's sister, my great auntie. Her name was Port, right? How's that for a name, Port? And Port, we were staying there one night, and I was probably like maybe 10 or something. Phone rings. I pick it up. I say hello, and they said, "Hello there. I'm looking for Gladys." And I'm just like, "Well, sorry, you must have the wrong number. No, Gladys lives here. Bye." Right, hang up on this person. And my auntie's like, "Who is that?" I said, "I don't know. There's some random looking for a lady called Gladys." "What kind of name is Gladys?" And she goes, "That's my name." And I'm like, "What? Your name is Port." She goes, "No, it's my nickname. It's my nickname. My last name was Porter. My mum's maiden name is Porter." So she got known as Port throughout her whole life. And so I just knew her as Auntie Port, right? So I hung up on this poor person and just told them wrong number. You know, I don't know who it was, but there's no Gladys here, right? Her name was Gladys, and I thought her name was Port. I also remember one day I was hanging out with a crew of my friends, and, you know, we'd been friends for a long time. You know when you think you know someone well enough to know, you know, who they are? I'm sitting there next to my friend Moses, and as we're sitting there, this roll call's being called out just to check off who's there. I know everyone in the room. Like, I'm just like, I know everyone here. Like, we're close. Then randomly, this name I've never heard of before, Chris Munro, right, gets called out. And I'm like, literally like, "Who is that?" And my mate next to me is like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "What? I thought your name was Moses." He's like, no, that's just what people call me. I'm like, my mind is just like, what on earth is going on when your name is not your name? And, you know, these four, young men that we hear about in Daniel chapter 1, they grew up with these strong Hebrew names, like good Hebrew kids did. Names were significant in Israel, and they always meant something significant. So when you get named, it is a big deal. You get given a name, and it sort of says so much about who you were. And in Hebrew, these names literally mean Daniel, God is my judge. Hananiah literally means the Lord shows grace. How good is that? I think I'm going to name my next son Hananiah. The Lord shows grace. Mishael, who is what God is, right? I'm like, is that some kind of tongue twister or like a riddle? Who is what God is? You tell me who is what God is. I don't think anyone is what God is. Only God is what God is. Mishael, who is what God is? How good is that? Azariah, the Lord helps. How good is that? How good is this young guy is walking around? He's like, "I am the one the Lord helps," right? this is what their names mean. They carry so much significance. And then King Nebuchadnezzar takes over their city and brings them into his sort of palace and into his household. And he says, I am going to rename you. Now, this was all about, giving or putting authority over them. It's an act of dominance to say, I will rename you. Now, what's interesting is when you read the names that they would have meant in the Babylonian language, get this, Daniel was named Belshazzar. And it means Marduk, protect his life. Marduk is one of the Babylonian gods. So he's saying, oh, I want my gods to look after this one. Shadrach means command of Aku. So that's the Sumerian moon god. So he's given this name now about this foreign god, command of Aku. So Meshach means who is what Aku is. Ooh. He takes this kid's name and replaces the god, true god, with a false god. Isn't it amazing how this act of dominance is all about changing something so little? The word so, it's almost the same, but completely takes out the very heart of what gave his word, his name significance, and replaces it with a false god. Who is what Aku is? And then Abednego means servant of Nabu, another god. So he literally renames these guys according to the Babylonian gods. And he places these names upon them. Now, what's interesting is that these names that are placed on them can do quickly become their identity in that society. They are referred to as these names. They are recognized by these names. They are spoken to using these names. These become part of who they are. And what's amazing about these four young men in particular is that they rise through the ranks. They start to do so well. Like, I'm telling you, they are the best of the best. They overshadow and outwork every other person that was in that the king's sort of palace, and they quickly rise in rank. And as they rise in rank, they rise in rank with those particular names spoken over them. Do you know, I have been the young adults pastor here at Horizon Church for 7 years. How crazy is that? Thank you for that. That was nice. That was good for my soul. I was pretty much, no, I was just joking. All right, I'll take a drink. I was pretty much as shocked as you were when I realized that. Like, only recently, I'm like, what, seven? I must have counted wrong. I'm like, no, that's been 7 years. How about that? Do you know, I've been the young adult pastor here for 7 years, and one of the things that I have noticed so much at this phase of life for all people is that it's almost a phase where people begin to be defined by a particular name and by a particular way that they fit into our society. You see, we even just heard an amazing story from Tam. This honestly, you were preaching there for a second, Tam, and I'm like, oh my gosh, she's like an example of these four young people in the flesh today. Because we get branded with all different labels. You know, you're a doctor, or you're a tradie, or you're an artist, or paralegal, whatever it may be. You get sort of given a title. And how easy is it for all of us to define ourselves by what we do? We start to think, well, who are the other people that have the same title as me? They're my people. Who are the other people that fit into the same, economic bracket as I do? They are my people. And we start to define ourselves by all these external things that are around us in the world, by the titles that are placed upon us, and we start to believe that that is who we are. And I just think what's amazing, as I said, being young adult pastor for so long, it's during this time that most people figure out what direction they're going, what it is they wanted to do, what it is they feel called to, what it is that they have skills for. And as they do that, these names can easily become the things that define us as an individual. But the truth is that long before you are defined by what you do, you are defined by whose you are. You see, my last name is Biasetto, Tim Biasetto. And you may know me as Tim, the young adults pastor here at Horizon Church. That may be how you know me, and that makes sense because that's how most of us have, gotten to know each other. But you know, I wasn't always Tim, the young adults pastor. In fact, I probably started out more being known more as Tim, the son of Joe and John. You know, Tim, Joe and John's son. And I was defined by whose I was, where I came from. Do you know, I've got a little girl, her name's Lacey. And she is gorgeous. And if someone was to ask someone, who is Lacey Biasetto? most people would say, oh, you know, she's Melanie and Tim's daughter. You know, that's who she is. And her and who she is and her identity is actually wrapped up a little bit in where she comes from and who she belongs to or who she's, you know, being raised by. And what's interesting is that these Hebrew kids represent the people of God. They actually represent a people of God that were under oppression at the time, scattered. They were sort of like the remnant of the people of God that knew their name in Him. And they, while being under this sort of Babylonian oppression, were still they still recognized themselves as Hebrew children. And we see this in a couple of key scriptures, right, throughout the book of Daniel. I'd encourage you to read it when you get a second. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand up into their Hebrew names in chapter 3, Jackson Moore's favorite chapter of the Bible, I think. It's an amazing chapter. And basically what happens is there's this decree that goes out and says everyone has to bow to this statue of King Nebuchadnezzar. And these three men are like, hey, we're not going to bow. And everyone's like, bow. And they're like, no. And it says King Nebuchadnezzar got so angry that there's this furnace, and anyone who doesn't bow is thrown in the furnace. He says, turn the furnace up. He turns it up 7 times hotter than it was before, and he's like, you three are going in there. And this is what they say. They turn back to him, and they say, you know what? It doesn't matter what you say to us, we will not bow to you. And you can throw us in that furnace if you want. And the God that we serve, this is them choosing to stand up in their Hebrew name, in their God-given identity. They said, our God is able to deliver us from that. But guess what? Even if He doesn't deliver us, we will never bow to you. And they get thrown in this furnace so hot that the people who threw them on also died. Yet, the three of them did not die. There was a fourth in the furnace. It's an incredible story. God Himself comes, protects them, and they come back out. And what's amazing is Nebuchadnezzar, this heathen, ungodly king, sees these three come back out, and he is so blown away that he says, this God is the true God. Yeah. Their God, the God of, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm telling you, whoever speaks badly against their God, they should be put to death. This is the one true God. And then he writes this massive letter about the Most High, the king of these young men. And I just think it's amazing that these young men chose in a moment of persecution or a moment of risk to stand upon their true names and not to be defined by their Babylonian names. You know, Daniel also, he goes on to do great exploits in this land. And Daniel, he gets to this point where the king sort of sets up this edict, and he had been a great blessing to King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar passes away, and then another king comes, and so King Darius now is ruling the Babylonian Empire, and this decree goes out to bow. And Daniel, it says, when he hears this decree, he goes back to his house, and he looks out towards Jerusalem. And then it says he begins to pray as he had 3 times a day because it was his custom. Now this guy, so many years into serving in this world, the Babylonian world, had never forgotten who he actually was. And do you know what? When we look at the world today, this is such a picture of what's happening in the world today. There is a world that wants to define you. There is a world that wants to box you. There is a world that wants to say who you are and who you're not. There is a world that wants to say where you fit and where you do not fit, who your people are and who your people aren't. There is a world that tries to say, you know, this is what makes you valuable. Yet, in the mix of all of this, there is a deeper truth, and that is, who are you to God? Who has God created you to be? And you know what? God's not against us excelling and doing well. In fact, this is why I included that scripture in John chapter 17. Jesus says, no, I don't want to take them out of the world. My goal isn't to remove them from this world. My goal is to send them. But in the sending, you need to recognize that they are not of this world, just like I'm not of this world. And He sends you and I, those that know Him, those that are filled with His Spirit, into the world. And we can work in the world, we can excel in the world, we can have success in the world, we can have influence in the world. And as we read the story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the effect that these 4 young people had upon an entire kingdom, and in reality, the entire known world at the time, because of whose they were, God's like, no, I don't want to take you out of that kingdom. No, I'm going to send you in, but I want you to remember who you are. Now, this sounds easy, sounds simple, to remember who you are. But again, 7 years, young adult pastor, I've recognized that quickly the career, begins to be the thing that defines who you are. And this is why I want to honor Tam right now. Where are you, Tam? She's serving. How good's that? I want to honor you because you're given a great opportunity, yet I heard you say, I felt great courage in God to say, this is what I need. And you can be the most successful person on the planet, but you need to be able to remember who you are and whose you are. You know, I remember when I finished school, I wanted to start a cafe. I wanted to start a business. That was my passion at the time. I'm like, I want to start a business. So I looked up best cafe in Sydney, right? And I went in, and because I'd grown up in youth, where you serve, I just said, hey, do you mind if I like stick around, ask some questions? And the guy's like, yeah, if you do the dishes, you can stick around as long as you want. I'm like, sweet. So for the next 3 months, I volunteered 2 days a week at this cafe just doing dishes, right? And I got to this point where these guys, like, I did obviously well, and they thought I was great. They come to me and they say to me, Tim, do you want to work here? I said, yeah, more than anything, that's what I want. And they said, well, fantastic. Is there any time you can't work? And I had this moment because I'm like, oh, you know, do I say or do I not say? And I really felt courage in God. And so I said, oh, the only time I can't work is Friday afternoons, because I serve at this local youth group in Sutherland, and that's a real priority for me. And they look at me and they say to me, well, we actually only have a shift on Friday afternoons. Do you want it? I just remember this moment of being like, because you know, you're sort of like, oh, I might just go with it, and then later I'll, you know, I'll fix it. You know what I mean? And I just remember being like, and this is an individual thing. Like, you know, each person has to go on their own journey. And for me at this point in my life, I just said, oh, look, nah, actually, this is a priority for me. And so I kept working, kept doing well. And a week later, they came up to me, my bosses, and they said, hey, look, you know, we think it's pretty good that you're helping those young people. And I'm like, thanks. And they said to me, they go, so here's what we're thinking. Would you be interested in full-time work with an annual salary, but you only have to work Monday to Friday, and Friday you can finish at 3 p.m. And I said, that sounds awesome, right? And so come on, give God some glory. And I realized in that moment that there is actually power in trusting God, even if it looks like it's going to cost you an opportunity. And these four young people, they did that. They constantly chose to stand in courage for the thing that God had called them to, even though it might affect their future and their opportunity. These guys were getting thrown into a furnace, yet they didn't bow. And do you know what? I realized in that moment, I'm like, wow, I went from maybe having one shift a week to having a full-time job with the flexibilities that I needed to do what God had called me to do. And it taught me a lesson that before I am anything else in this world, I am first God's child, God's son. Do you know, the thing I love is that no matter what you do, that before you can define yourself by what you do, you are anointed. You are called, you are chosen. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You're his son, you're his daughter. You know, he actually loves you, not based on what you do, but on who you are. And the most important thing that we can do when we are given these dual names is never forget what our true name really, really is. These guys, they rose to prominence under their new names, but they'd never forgot their true names. And right now, I might just ask the keys to come back up. And, you know, I thank God that so many people in our church are thriving in this world. We need people who can, you know, be out there and doing what they do. And thriving looks like so many different things. It looks like, you know, influence at every level. You know, some of the most incredible influences, I think, are mums and dads. Now that I'm a parent, I am like, wow, if I do nothing else in my life but raise up, you know, great children who know God and who know themselves, then I've done a great job. And so there are many ways to outwork this, but we need to be defined not by the words of the world, but by the word of God. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Do you know, just tonight, I want to change gears in a moment, but I really felt that as we came to this part of the message, I wanted to give people an opportunity to really ask the question of what defines you? You know, what have you based your value, your worth, and who you are on? And this is one of the things I love about the church, right? Is because you can come in and you can sit on a row and you can be sitting next to somebody who's homeless, and then on the other side, somebody who's running a company, you know? Yet in church and in the house of God, we're all just children of God. And it's almost like the names, the Babylonian names, they float off. You know, the doctor, the student, the artist, the whatever, it just sort of floats off. And it just, we all become children of God again. We all begin to live as God's kids, and we can sit shoulder to shoulder by people that are so different to us, from different parts of the world, from different economic situations, with different upbringings, beliefs, different languages. It literally doesn't matter. In the church and in the house of God, we are all His children. And what's so important is that we remember that when we are fulfilling what God's called us to do out in the world, because although we are in the world, Jesus said, we are no more of the world than He is. And so right now, here's what I want to ask. If you're here, maybe you've come with a friend. Maybe you're just checking church out. Maybe faith is a whole new thing to you. Do you know that you are a child of God? Have you ever received that truth into your heart? Have you ever recognized that you've been created by God with a plan and a purpose, and that what you do and where you live and the amount of money you have doesn't define your value? God loves you and He cares about you. In fact, He cares about you so much that He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him, and He actually wants a communication. This is why it's crazy about people in this room. You know, we don't just come to get knowledge. We actually come to have an encounter. You know, we truly believe that we can hear from God just as much as we can speak to God. And I just want to ask anyone in the room, and if you're honest with yourself right now, you're distant from God, but tonight you're saying, well, if it's available, I would love to know God. If it's possible, then I want that in my life. And just what we're going to do is going to pray a prayer. And can I just ask everyone to close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment. And we're going to pray a simple prayer, but it's a prayer that is so powerful, because what it says is, God, I actually recognize that You are my Father. I actually recognize that I am Your child. I actually accept that You love me so much that You made a way for me to have a relationship with You, that Jesus came and He created a way for me to know God. With every eye closed right now, if you're distant from God, you've never opened up your heart from God, pray this prayer, and the rest of us are going to pray it as well. Let's pray this after me. Dear Jesus, I know that You love me. You gave Your life up for me. And I thank You, Jesus, that through Your death, my sins are forgiven. Through Your resurrection, I have new life. From this day forward, walk with me, talk to me, and live in me, in Jesus' name. That's why your eyes are closed. Just stay in this moment, sweet moment of worship. If you're in the room and that was you, just wherever you are, I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to pray God's blessing over you. I'd love to pray God's strength over you. And just so I know who I'm praying for, I'm just going to ask you to be real bold and just give us a quick wave. If that was you and you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time, or it's been a long time since you opened up your heart to God, wherever you are right now, why don't you just lift up your hand? Why don't you just give us a wave? I just want to pray for anyone who tonight is just opening up their heart to God in that new way. Amazing. Anyone need to raise their hand right now just before I pray? Fantastic. Lord, we just thank You so much, Lord. God, we just thank You so much for Your power and Your presence in these beautiful lives, God. And we ask You right now, Lord, just to speak so powerfully, God, to Your people. We thank You that we are Your children. We declare that right now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, can we just stand to our feet for a second? And we're just going to sing a song for a bit. And you know, I really felt that for many of us in the room, if we're honest with ourselves, we have begun to be defined by the things around us, the labels that have been placed upon us. And you know, God's not disappointed that we have those labels. He doesn't want us to walk away from those labels. He's happy for us to have them. He just doesn't want us to be defined by them. And we need to remember that first, we are children of God. And that we can still be agents of God's love in our workplaces. And we can be bold in faith in our workplaces. And we can walk in the things of God even when we are pursuing the things, the big things that God's called us to do in the secular world. And I just want us to take a minute right now just to come back to that place of saying, God, I'm not who they say I am, I'm who You say I am.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.